be it done to me according to thy word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Reverend Fathers, dear faithful, and dear children, for this Lenten day of recollection, today is a great day to be in church. I'll tell you so in a minute. Well, this day is an anniversary, of so many holy things that have happened, and one more that's still about to come. Today we're counting. One of those counting days, the 25th of March, 9 months from Christmas. Christmas is 9 months from today. We celebrate Gabriel. You know this now, of course. Coming down to our Blessed Lady. The Holy Ghost coming and overshadowing her, and she conceives our Lord. Since the 6th century, this has been a great feast day. And in the Middle Ages, today was a public holiday. They didn't have a different holiday from a holy day. It was the same thing. And nobody worked or anything like that, and everybody celebrated. And for many centuries, today was New Year's Day until the calendar got reformed in the 16th century. Today is the day, the 25th of March, on which our Lord died on the cross. Today is the day on which Almighty God created the world to start with. Remember, he said the same word as our Blessed Lady said for the redemption to start. He said, fiat, let it be. Fiat lux, et lux quae factum est. And the light was made on this very day. Adam and Eve ate the apple, the forbidden fruit, the original sin, came into this world, and they fell, and they were expelled from the Garden of Paradise. On this day, Isaac, having carried the wood of his own sacrifice up the mountainside, was about to be sacrificed by his father Abraham, except God sent an angel to hold him back and to say, no, it was just a test. On this day, the avenging angel, see how angels are everywhere today, passed over the houses of the Egyptians, and the firstborn of each one of those families of the Egyptians was slain by the angel. But the children of the Hebrews, God's people, they were protected because they had a kind of a cross, a tau cross, like as St. Francis would use later, made of the blood of the Lamb offered up in sacrifice to represent the precious blood of Jesus. And that was how they escaped safely. So there are many, many things to think about today. Today, from a holy point of view, is a little bit like one of those smorgasbord or buffets you might go to from time to time. And you think to yourself, am I ever hungry? I hope I don't distract anyone on this fasting day. I know it's been a long, busy morning for all of you. But am I ever hungry? Well, that looks good. I think I want some of that. And, oh, yes, I must get some of that before they run out. There's so much to choose from. But last of all, I said, something's coming. What's coming? They say that today, the 25th of March, not necessarily this day, this year, but on this day, the 25th of March, the world will come to an end, just as it began. See the beauty and the poetry of God's plan? So, where would you want to be when the world came to an end? Well, you'd want to be in church, of course, I should think, if you're sensible, saying your prayers. And that's exactly where you are. So you could tell our Lord that you're ready because you've been to confession and you're about to go to communion and you're with our Blessed Mother. How more prepared could any of us get? We're ready, even if it might not be for many years, or we might never even see it. The main thing is to be ready. Monday and Tuesday, the children of the school had a story. Father Lecter told them a most interesting fairy tale with all sorts of profitable morals in it and tests. Remember the tests? You had to do this, you had to do that, and if you didn't do it, then that would be the end of you. Interesting story. And yesterday, I told you a Bible story, several of them actually, about the dragon slayer, Daniel, and how he was fed to lions in the den, and Habakkuk the cook, who was taken by the hair of his head to Babylon, to the lion's den, to bring a bowl of porridge, just as in Goldilocks, to feed Daniel till he could get out of the lion's den. Well, today we have another story. When you were little, do you remember how you might have gotten a favorite story? And you might get your dad or your mom to tell it to you every night before you go to bed, so much so that your parents would be bored, but you'd say, no, that's the story that I want. Why do you want, it's my favorite story. That's how we feel, especially today. We are all children of the church. That's how we feel about the story of the Annunciation. They say, children, that one picture is worth 1,000 words. And so Darlene, in her abundant goodness, wanted to give you all a picture to look at today because you were all covered, and she felt sorry for you, so she put the picture up. And I said, no, Darlene, you have to take the picture away. We can't have any pictures out because it's Passion Tide, and everything has to be hidden and covered over in purple. But never mind. That's all right. You've heard the story many times. You can close your eyes and imagine what it was like. That's meditating, isn't it? That's the start, anyway. And we tell the story to God, to our angel, to Our Lady, whenever we say the Hail Mary, whenever we pray the Angelus, whenever we meditate the first joyful mystery, don't we? We tell and we listen to this wonderful tale. How come? Why is that? Mary didn't ask why, but we may, so that we may understand it a little bit better. The great God came to earth. Think of it. God, who by just saying one word, created all of the solar systems and all of those stars and planets and I don't know what else that's out there, meteors and things like that. And then he created this world. And then, of course, he made the angels. Then he created you and me. Think of it. That wonderful story. But the best story of all, on this smorgasbord that we have on this buffet with so much to choose from, is the Holy Mass. Because its story and its parts not only tell about his coming, but make him to come again. As with all good stories, it kind of builds up. Slowly. First of all, if you're in church and you're waiting, and somebody will come out and light the candles, usually Mr. Litarsky, but sometimes an altar boy. And then the candles are lit. And then they'll rev up the music if it's a high mass. And then you'll see the priest about the altar checking on things, and maybe an altar boy or two. And then the bells will ring, and there'll be a hymn, and then there'll be the procession in the case of today, 3 priests come, because it's a solemn high mass. And then the priests bow over and say the prayers at the foot of the altar, and that's to make us think about the agony in the garden when our Lord said the same words as his mother said, be it done to me according to thy word. And then the Kyrie, that's the plea for mercy, 9 times, 3 for each of the persons of the most blessed Trinity. And then the book gets moved from one side to the other. That's the story, remember, going from the Old Testament stories and waiting for the Messiah to the New Testament, to the coming of our blessed Savior. And then there's the offertory, and that makes us think a bit about the purification or the presentation of our Lord in the temple. And the priest washes his hands, and we think about Pilate washing his hands on the way, just before the way of the cross started. And then there's the incense. That makes us think about that other time that Gabriel came to the father of John the Baptist, who would be Our Lady's cousin. And he was a priest, and his name was Zachary. And he was offering up incense in the temple in the evening sacrifice. So there's all of these parts of the story, and like the Annunciation story, children, you know it very well. And then slowly, there's a little bit of a dialogue, a conversation. Father sings forever and ever, and then you sing amen. And then let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and just so to do. Lift up your hearts. And then we say, well, yes, we've lifted them up to our Lord. And then after that, the choir sings the hymn that Isaiah heard in the temple, the Old Testament. Holy, holy, holy. And then nothing. It's quiet. Father's whispering, just as it was at midnight when the angel came. Like a secret getting known upon the earth, we sing in one of our hymns. And then that's when God comes down from heaven to earth, sweetly and silently. How did Gabriel come? Remember, he came. The archangels know they have a tendency to scare people. So he came very quietly and gently. He didn't want to scare the Virgin Mary. She was only 14, and she was extremely humble and very, very holy, of course. And so right away he says, after he greets her, he says, don't fear, noli te Mary. And then he tells her her job, his mission, to be the mother of God. Would she say yes? And she says, how shall this be done? Now, she doesn't answer the way her cousin Zachary did when the angel came to see him in the temple about him having a son called John the Baptist. He was an old man. He was a bit of an old geezer, I think, to tell you the truth. He was stubborn, and he was sure of himself, and he was slightly disagreeable. And the angel had to punish him. He was struck dumb. He couldn't speak for 9 months until his son was born and given his correct name. But Our Lady is full of humility and sweetness, and she just says, in a matter-of-fact kind of way, well, in other words, what do you want me to do? What's my role in this? And the angel just says, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, overshadow you, and you're going to have a baby. And he will be the Son of the Most High. She didn't understand the whole thing. I mean, how could she? How could anybody? But she says, fiat, be it done, be it done. The same words that created the light that started the making of this world, those same words brought Jesus, the light of the world, into this world. You could spend the rest of your life, children, listening to the same story over and over again. And like a favorite story of childhood, never grow tired of it. Always find it interesting and comforting and wonderful to hear one more time. And always learn something new. You could? Well, you do when you pray every day those golden words of the Hail Mary. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.